Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. And tonight we're going to be talking about something that's, gosh, it's such a great story. If you joined us last week on episode 338, we were talking to Randy and Captain all about canines for warriors. And tonight we're going to be talking about Forgotten Not Gone. It's a wonderful organization that our guest is going to be talking about tonight. So I'm going to get my co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you tonight?
I am fantastic. I am so excited that we have Kelly on. She is a person who lives her purpose, who follows guidance as she goes, and I adore her. I believe in her. I believe in her work, and I'm excited to share it.
Well, how much more can be than that? Oh, my gosh.
I know.
So, Kelly, welcome to the cafe. We'll get you a cup of coffee, have you sit down, and get all comfortable and cozy here at the cafe. So, tell us what happened. How did you get inspired to do Forgotten Not Got Gone? And could you tell people what that is and how you came about putting it together?
Absolutely. First, let me thank you, Robin, for having me on the show. I appreciate it. And thank you, Amy, so much for all your love and support. I met Amy at a time when I didn't even know I needed her. So, boop, there you go, right? She's been amazing ever since. So, I didn't even know I needed her, and I did. But Forgotten Not Gone kind of came out of desperation, if you will. When I got out the military, my husband and I both, we met in the Air Force, we kind of just floundered around like fish out of water for 10 years, and things just went from bad to worse, and we really couldn't figure out what was going on. In 2011, right before major things happened to us, we went to a place called the War-Related Illness Clinic for my husband. It was a week-long process where he got to see specialists in every area that he had challenges in. At the end of that week, they put together a whole comprehensive plan of what they think you can do. And at that time, they prescribed him a recumbent trike. And I just thought, well, it's a bike, so I don't think that's going to help. And they recommended it for anxiety and depression and everything. And then when we got home, the VA refused to buy it for him. So long story short, we wind up buying the trike for him. We got a really good deal and bought one for me as well. He rode for 2 months, and at the end of that 2 months, he was so much better. He had begun to stutter because of the insomnia. I guess they say if you don't sleep, after a while it will impair your speech, and among other things. But he was speaking clearly. He can convey a message. His anxiety was way, way down. And so we just kind of put our heads together and said, you know what, every veteran should have access to these trikes, you know, regardless of if someone can pay for them or if they can't, let's be the facilitator for this healing and wellness, you know, aspect of it. So Forgotten Not Gone was born. We started with two bikes, and now we have roughly 26. So.
Wow, that's amazing. And now who figured out that trikes, that these incumbent bikes would actually be something that could actually support, you know, these guys in their healing process?
I'm not really, I don't know if it was the psychologist who came up with it or if they all got together. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, scientific studies have been done to show that endorphins, just organic endorphins, helps any mood, you know,
mm-hmm.
and this was it's one of those areas. I think the recumbent trike, because what it is it's a bike designed specifically for rehabilitation. The challenge
mm-hmm.
with most veterans is that we have mobility issues. So our balance may be off, so a regular bike is not really going to work for us. Or we may have back troubles like my husband, and he has bilateral knee damage. This bike is specifically designed to get you out of the house when you normally wouldn't be able to ride a regular bike or go rollerblading or do this or do that. It helps you rehabilitate. So it's specifically designed for that purpose. Think that's why it was recommended for him, you know.
Mm-hmm. And cool. Kelly, I know the bikes are great for the physical part, but what I love is how you guys are combining it with the social aspect. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. It's kind of funny because I don't even think we discussed this all the way, Amy. When we went to the war-related illness clinic, that's when I found out that my husband at one point in time had contemplated taking his own life, and I could not believe it. I was actually, you know, he was speaking to the woman, and she was like, well, we're asked at this time if you would like your wife to leave, and I just sat there because we did everything together, and he asked me to leave. And I couldn't believe it. And I was, you know, racking my brain this whole time, Robin, thinking, well, what could be so, this is my best friend. What could be so emotional that he doesn't want to share with me? And that's why I found that out. You know, when the meeting was over, she was giving me all this stuff to lock up guns and stuff. We were both cops, so firearms we've always had in our home. It's never been a big deal. We're very careful with them. They're always locked up and stuff. But yeah, that's how I found out. So what we did, we combined the two and decided to raise awareness for veteran suicide. And ironically enough, at that time, right before then, it was only 18 veterans a day. And I say only loosely, I mean, that's one is too many, but it was 18
right.
veterans killing themselves daily. And we couldn't believe that figure. And then it went up to, when we finally started the, organization in 2013, it was 22 veterans a day. So we use that, like Amy said, in conjunction with that to get the word out, and also to be proactive to help veterans before it even gets to that point.
And I notice that, well, what I see is the community that gets built. And I don't, and part of what we want to do, Kelly, is really educate our audience. Our audience really are seekers and people
okay.
who want to learn. And they want to help, and they want, you know, their community of helpers. And I think people
mm-hmm.
don't really, you know, the average person doesn't really know veterans that, you know, and maybe in their social circle. So I think they don't really understand how veterans really are family and how them
right.
coming together is really significant. So would you mind talking about that a little bit?
No, absolutely. That's what really made the difference for us. We moved out to North Las Vegas. That's where we got our brick and mortar. Out here, we opened up the facility so we could grow and get more bikes. And that's when it became apparent to us that the only way this was going to work is because of the community. They didn't, like you said, they didn't really know who we are. All the things that they were learning were from the media, you know, thinking that they can't hire us. We're just PTSD riddled, ticking bombs. You know, we're PTSD just waiting to explode,
yep.
and that's not the case. We're just like everybody else. We've seen some things that most people won't see in their life or shouldn't have to see. But all in all, you know, they just put PTSD on there. PTSD is really, to me, this is my definition. It's a normal reaction to a traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm,
some things you should not be normal to you. Some things you should not be able to go to sleep after seeing. So we're really, it's not that the person is crazy. It's a normal reaction to something that you've never experienced before, something that's traumatic. And you've seen this, individuals who have been raped before or have been in a terrible car accident and now they're afraid to drive on the freeway because that's where it happened. That's all post-traumatic stress is, something that happens after that traumatic event took place in your life. Now you have some adverse challenges that go along with the after effects of it. And so once we introduced these bikes and healing as a family, Amy, like you said, that was the huge thing, the community coming together. So the veteran's not just going somewhere and getting one-on-one care. The family is actually creating this core support group, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when there is not a 9-to-5 or they're not going to a clinic, the wife or the husband, whoever the spouse is, knows how to communicate with their veteran now. They have a relationship with their kids. The bike may have been the chemical, may have been the component that helped them get to that point, but it will help them build a relationship. And that's really the bigger thing out of it. And when we have our veterans go work with kids, like we take the bikes to schools, the veterans interacting now in the community. Let's say one of the children's dads owned a company or the mother owned the company. And now they see that this veteran is working with their child. Oh, they're not broken. Maybe I'll hire that person. And now we're being reengaged into that, to the civilian world, and you know, letting them know we're part of the community as well. So.
And letting people know that veterans are people who know how to make a mission happen. They know how to work together. They know how to look past silliness and really look at what's really important here, what needs to get done. And
absolutely,
I think that's really an important part of what you're doing, is that educating who veterans really are. And I think it's so important with the whole family. I think Robin and I are, you know, we grew up in the Air Force. There was a before Vietnam dad and an after Vietnam dad. And nobody really helped us with that. Yeah. And I think we're all still trying to make sense out of that.
I need a bike.
Next time I come out,
I got to go on a bike. Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing about it, though, Robin, is what we say. We named it Forgotten Not Gone because of our Vietnam era veterans. You know, it was a lot different for 9/11. We were post 9/11. So we got a lot of the perks and the benefits that our Vietnam era veterans should have gotten. And the reason we got them is because of how hard they suffered. You know, when they came back, they got spit on. You know, they got called vicious names. And, you know, and when we came back, it was all, you know, love for us. Here, go to school. Here, we'll pay for this. And most of our Vietnam era veterans are either keep it bottled in or, you know, they're on the street. And that's why we named it Forgotten Not Gone, because they're forgotten, but they're not gone. They're just, you know, suffering in silence. And it was just really sad for us to see. Those were the veterans who helped me and my husband. Our elders were the ones who gave back to us and taught us how to overcome things. You know, we'll be married 19 years in June. And you have to be, you know, you have to see that as an example to get that in this day and age. People have divorces like people drink water. So, you know, but it was our elders who kind of taught us how to get over things and really treat it, like you said, Amy, like a mission. Hey, nobody's walking away from this, you know.
Well, I want people to go look at ForgottenNotGone.org and play around in there, because there's a lot of really great information. But I'm staring at a quote right now that I want to state, and I think it's so profound. It says, people don't die from suicide. Sadness kills them. And, man, let's just sit with that for a second. You know, it's like they feel hopeless. They don't feel like anybody cares, that, you know, there is no real tomorrow. But by coming together and creating friendships, by helping them to get physical again, and I want you to talk a little bit about, I have one of your T-shirts. I'm very proud of it. And on there is a flag. And I want you to talk about that flag that you have on there. What does that mean?
What we wanted to do is, when we were actually getting the flyers in 2013 printed up, we noticed that, you know, we were handing them out and people kept trying to give them back to us. They kept telling us that we had a printing era on there, that it should be 22 a month or 22, you know, a year, but not 22 a day. And that's when I realized we have a problem that people are not ignoring. People just don't know. They just really have no clue. Like I said, I didn't know it was what it was until it resonated. It was in my home, right? It had happened to someone I cared about and loved. So, you know, the same thing goes with people who, you know, have cancer or something like that. Until it really affects you, sometimes we're just, you know, living our lives. Not that we're bad people. We just got our own things going on. So when we saw that, we said, well, what can we do to really get people's attention? And if you're in war, you fly the flag upside down. And let's say I'm a patrol and I'm rolling up on you. That lets me know that you're in immediate duress. Okay, you're in distress. And I think, you know, as veterans and being my brothers and sisters' keeper, you know, representing the flag upside down on our shirt shows that we are in a state of distress. You know, if one of us is dying, that's too many. And we got one almost every hour. That's a signal of distress to me. We are under duress and we need help. So that's why the flag is upside down.
And that's really amazing. Robin, did you know that?
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. No, I didn't. I think that's wonderful that you guys are you know, it's so sensitive to what's going on with everything. So are you guys involved in a lot of parades and stuff like that? Or, you know, because you guys go out every weekend, right?
Yes, we have what's called the Saturday Night Survivors Ride. And if you survive that week, we have some weeks that are horrible for us. Come out with us Saturday night at 7 p.m. at our Forgotten Igon headquarters over here in North Las Vegas. And we get you on a bike. People reserve their bikes. We need to know, you know, height and weight sometimes. And people reserve their bikes. And then we go out. We either go downtown and ride around. It's amazing. That's another reason why my husband came out of his show, because people kept running to his bike and high-fiving him and asking him questions. He had to stop being, you know, uncomfortable in his skin. It kind of pulled him out of it. So that was another way that it helped him in his healing. But we have a lot of fun. If we have people who have children that come out Saturday night, or they have TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, we'll just go to the park. We'll kind of fit it to you. And what helps you to kind of get out there and interact. But really, like Amy said, it was just our foot in the door. We talk about so much more, how to eat properly. My husband's been juicing for some years now that I had to change his diet. Before he had started riding as well, he had gotten down to 153 pounds, and he was having fainting spells. So he was eating baby food because his GI tract was so, you know, it was torn, but he just couldn't keep anything down I'm trying to think of the word, the way the food is made, I can't think of the word for some reason.
Process?
No, just the texture. There you go. The texture was hurting his throat. Yeah. So he was eating filleted baby food, and I really couldn't even get that in him. So that's how come he had lost so much weight. I think about 60 pounds within just a few months. So, you know, we teach our veterans, you know, how to live mentally, physically, and spiritually, it says on our website. And we really try to cover all those aspects at their own pace. The thing that I would tell most of your listeners, veterans are really, they have integrity. And mm-hmm. they deal with people in integrity. So they're very cautious until they learn that they can trust you. And once they trust you, they'll do anything for you, right? It's just that gauge that they have to get past, because once they've been burned, they're really suspicious. And that's part of our training as well. But, once you have our trust and do right by us, we'll do anything for you. So we kind of take it slow with our veterans. We don't push anything. You don't come and have a psyche eval with us. You just come and ride a bike, you know, get outside of your own head for a little while and, you know, get some endorphins going and smell the fresh air. It does wonders.
Well, and I know that you're looking for lots of different ways to collaborate. I know when UNLV had their Walk to Remember, you were both out there and had the bikes, mm-hmm. and people were riding the bikes, and oh my God, we were having so much fun. So part
right.
of what, you know, Transformation Cafe is about is having people going, okay, what are some ways I can help in my community? So we certainly want people to be looking at what you're doing and how can, you know, they support you, but also support veterans and their family members. So I want you to be thinking about that, and we'll talk more about that. But, you know, I know for me, something, of course, because it's about, you know, it's all about me, isn't it? Isn't that how it always goes? The something that's also part of this is the secondary post-traumatic stress and
yes.
helping family members and spouses, you know, that, you know, and there's a lot of veterans that are married to veterans. And so I think there's that, you know, where I can tough it out. I can, I can handle it. But being
right.
able to create a place, a soft place where you can have those conversations. That's so amazing.
Right, right. You hit it right on the nail, because we're veteran to veteran, cop to cop. We are both cops in the military. So at certain points in time, we didn't even treat each other like human beings.
mm-hmm.
You know, and I would be upset, and he would be like, suck it up, soldier. And I'd be like, but I'm a girl. I have potions. And he's like, you're a soldier. You're a cop. You know, or sometimes he would be feeling really bad, and I'd just be like, hey, man up. You know, not understanding that's my husband and he's going through some things. However, we did get over and through a lot of things that most people can't, because like you said, it's veteran to civilian. And veteran to veteran has its perks because we know what the other one is really going through. So, but that helps community-wise as well. Like I said, we've gotten families in here who've gotten to heal together and become that core support group for each other. Now they talk. Now they have something in common with their children. And, you know, it's a huge thing. But back to what you were saying before, I think helping a veteran, it can be as easy as if you know somebody in the community that's a veteran, going shopping for them or taking them shopping or – you know, inviting them to speak at your school. So a lot of schools have STEM programs where wherever that veteran does, he or she can come and teach the children or at least talk about it, you know, and be involved in like after school programs and stuff like that. Just kind of include in as much as community work as possible. I think that keeps them from getting to the point of what you said, Amy, on our website, that the sadness kills them or the isolation is really what it is. You know, being involved and knowing that if you don't show up somewhere, somebody's going to call you because somebody loves you. That person is looking for you. You will be missed. And I think that's the two biggest thing of thinking that, A, you don't matter or that you're a burden on people. And that's what most of the people who, you know, have even contemplated suicide, when they talk to them the most, they just said, I just thought it'd be better off if I wasn't here for other people. They feel like they're a burden to us or, you know, in that way. And nothing could be further from the truth, you know. But like you said, we also we're going to be with Floyd Mayweather in March. We have volunteered for them 3 times, and we were a big hit with the trikes. We try and take the trikes out as much as possible, even though they're for veterans. But anything that has to do with community and community growth, we want to get the bikes out there. And people can really help just by, you know, either donating time. Money always helps. We have a lot of bikes, and they have to be safe for our veterans. That's our number one concern. So we're upgrading bikes now. We're also upgrading electric assist on the bike. The electric assist helps the veteran to pedal. So even if they don't want to pedal, they can still be out and about, not be ashamed of any disabilities that might hold them back. So we're fundraising for that right now.
Oh, perfect. Now, do you have people that come in and are able to work on the bikes? Do you need people to come in and help?
We do need people. Nope, you're absolutely right. We do need people right now. We're working with electric cycles. We're working with them right now. They're putting kits on our bikes and everything like that. But as far as maintenance and upkeep, yeah, we could really use any volunteers that we can get. Just somebody who, it seems easy for somebody who knows how to do it, but all in all, we're just, you know, regular veterans who decided to do something about a situation that, you know, affected us, but we don't know how to fix bikes. So,
well,
you know, we keep wearing the tires, but that's about it.
Well, and there's especially in Las Vegas, I mean, I would really love to people all over the country to find ways they can support their veterans in their communities. But right now, looking at Vegas, there's a really huge retirement community. And
oh,
I know
absolutely.
I work with a lot of them, and they're looking for something to feel passionate about, to care about something. So what I would recommend, definitely, if you are good at working on bikes, come, you know, get a hold of Kelly and Peter and go help them. And
absolutely.
Not only are you helping the veterans, but you're helping the family members too.
Yeah, and it's huge. That's really the ground that we're trying to shore up for the VA, is being able to spend. You know, we have veterans that come out with us, them and their family, and they're with us for like 5 or 6 hours. You know, mm-hmm. And we know realistically, you can't go to an appointment and speak to a counselor for 5 or 6 hours, you and your whole family, and get some type of, you know, something hashed out or something like that. So we're really just a second support, as you know, as well as where you're at the Veteran Transition Resource Center, Amy. It's the same thing. It's just being that part of the community that helps where we can help. We shore up that shortfall, you know, that the VA is not all things to all people. There's just some things that we need to come together in our community and change for ourselves, whether it affects you or not, you know, because really in the long run it does. You know, if you got people going around in the community and they're not fitting in or they're not living up to their potential because they have no direct connection with someone else, I mean, that to me is the whole point of living. Why are we here if it's not to help somebody else live a quality life or live a purposeful life?
Absolutely. I'm with you. You know that. I'm just, you know, I'm so proud to watch what you do each and every day, and you're there for people 24/7. rightly or wrongly, you are.
You know, we try. We do. I mean, we do the best that we can do. But, you know, when you say it takes a village, it takes a whole community to really dive in and shore up that shortfall for people to know that they're not alone and that they are loved and that, you know, it's not going to be better off if you're gone. It's going to be worse. And when you were talking about your father before Vietnam and then after Vietnam, you know, we have to think about that too. We're getting a lot of more suicides from children of people who have committed suicide. Yeah. Suicides. It's actually that rate is rising, and it's because the children are feeling, you know, I wasn't enough for you to stick around. I wasn't enough for you to try and give life a chance. So we really need to focus on getting this number down, and we need to, because it's going to ricochet, and that's what it's been doing. It's not isolating to one area, and that's why I said, you know, in your community, a lot of things are your concern, whether it directly affects you or not. It's going to start to affect you.
And I think, you know, we've both taken the safe talk, and I think that's,
right.
I want to get everybody to take the safe talk, to have those tough conversations, because
right.
you never know who could be in trouble. Like you said, Peter was, and you didn't know it. You know,
absolutely.
And so learning some of those signs and having those conversations, I think, are really, really important. So, Robin, we've got a few minutes left, so what else would you like to know about or bring into the conversation?
Well, could you step back for a second and talk, well, you know, what is Safe Talk, just in case somebody's, you know, never heard of that program, so they're kind of aware of what we're talking about and how they might be able to get a hold of that. I think that's a good information to make sure we have on the show.
I will make sure Andy has what he needs, but it is an international program, so it's common languaging, and about how to see that somebody may be thinking about suicide and to ask the question directly and get them the help they need. So I don't want to just talk off the cuff, but we'll get information to put on, you know, have Andy put it on the website.
Yeah, and he does a really great job for that. So I just really want to encourage everybody to reach out to Kelly. I mean, if you're hearing this somewhere, you know, if you're not in the Las Vegas, Nevada area, and you really could see the need for something like this, I really would love for you to reach out for her. Again, it's ForgottenNotGone.org. And just have a conversation, because, I mean, I think we're just living in really exciting times that, you know, vets are feeling safe enough now that they can come out and be able to tell people, you know, it's one thing to be talking to a vet to vet, but being able to, you know, reach out and be vulnerable enough to let the community know what's really going on for them when they've had these tours. And like you said, they just have these things that, you know, we can't even imagine if you've not experienced it yourself. And being able to just be supportive systems for everybody, you know, and not having it just be a vet community, but our full community on a global level that really, you know, just honors and celebrates, you know, just so much you give to all of us in your service. And have it be something that can really benefit everybody. Because, like we're saying, it, you know, it starts with a vet. He gets healed, the family gets healed, and then the community can get healed. So, and then
right.
the world gets healed. So it's just a right. progressive synergy that really happens with all this stuff. So it's exciting that that a lot of those stereotypes and this, just some of the stigmas are melting away. And then people can see stuff. And I think it's just very interesting. I'm looking at last show, you know, here we had, you know, Captain, and he's very good about walking, you know, Randy's got to get him out walking and moving around and being outside. And here we're talking about the bikes and the same thing, you know, let's get out and move and be outdoors and get connected to the world. So I think it's an interesting
right.
thing that is just, you know, just anything that can help you to not feel so isolated and that you matter. I think it's just
right.
really a wonderful thing. Yeah.
And on our,
so,
any, go
ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, so we have our videos, too. That's what on what you were speaking about. We try and do. We make a video whenever we go out on our Saturday night Survivor's Ride. We have a huge presence on Facebook, so they can visit us on Forgotten Not Gone. We have a public group and a private group, but it's Forgotten Not Gone on Facebook. They can go ahead and look that up. But we have our videos on there, and you can see us downtown. You can see us at the park. Also on our YouTube, you can see lots of photos. And we have those on there just to remind our veterans of what a good time they had. So they could, that's something to look back on and to reminisce. Hey, I had a really good time out there with them. And I met that one veteran. And even if they couldn't talk to me, they might have met a veteran on the ride that they clicked with. And now they become a support system for each other. And that's always a beautiful thing.
Or some vets that are curious about it and is wondering what it is, and they're seeing all these guys having a good time. I'm like, man, I'm missing out. I need to go do something.
Unless you gotta,
so there you go.
Get on the bike.
And that's good too. In fact, I'm like, I'm gonna get myself
you.
On a bike.
Yeah,
and Kelly, thank
okay.
you for getting women to the table too. Women veterans to the table. Thank
Absolutely.
You for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We get left out. So they're yep. the other silent majority that gets overlooked as well, our women veterans. So we're looking to either collaborate with you, Amy, and the community and do bigger and better things for our women veterans as well.
Yahoo.
So, you know, any questions or comments you guys want to give, if you have any other ideas of ways that we can be supporting vets in general and also the female community, making sure these women are appreciated. Really love to hear your any kind of your ideas and comments about it. And if you have any special messages for Kelly, we'd love to pass them along to her. So thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And as always, thank Miss Amy for her input and just being a part of the show. You guys rock. And we'll see you next time here at the Transformation Bike Cafe. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.